If you listen to Solving JFK a lot, you know that I like to keep the vibes up. And that's why I'm a fan of federally legal cannabis from Mood.com. It's a brand that uses small organic farms to source its pesticide-free legal weed. You can get 20% off of your first order at Mood.com by using code JFK. My favorite product of theirs is the functional THC gummies. Usually I go with Epic Euphoria, but I also like Magic Mind and the Pure Relief CBD gummies. These legal weed gummies take about 20 minutes to kick in, and you can control the dosage yourself. Unlike the federal government, Mood.com has never sold drugs to fund illegal wars or clandestine missions. Thanks, Mood.com. So try out some of the excellent legal cannabis products from Mood.com and get a 20% discount off of your first order using code JFK. Did you know your calendar age doesn't always match how old your body really is? It's true, your biological age, the age of your cells and organs, is actually the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases like heart disease, cancer, dementia, and more. That's why learning your biological age can be truly life-changing, and that's exactly what the True Age test from True Diagnostic helps you do. With just a simple at-home test, you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights to help you take control of your health like never before. No doctor visits, no labs, just a quick finger prick from the comfort of your own home. True Diagnostic doesn't just tell you your biological age, it gives you a personalized report that's full of clear, science-backed steps that you can take to actually slow down aging and improve your health over time. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com. You can use the code JFK to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's TrueDiagnostic.com and use code JFK at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. In the last episode, we covered Oswald's time in the Marines, from his enlistment and initial training in San Diego, Camp Pendleton, Jacksonville, and Biloxi, to his deployment overseas in Japan. He also may have served in Taiwan and possibly had a minor meltdown while he was there, but we don't know for sure about that because the Department of Defense and the House Select Committee on Assassinations say that Oswald never even went to Taiwan. In this episode, we continue looking at Oswald's military service with a focus on his return to California. We'll also try to figure out why Oswald applied to a tiny, obscure college in the Swiss Alps that had links to the Central Intelligence Agency.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
The flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
This is Solving JFK. I'm your host, Matt Crumpton. According to his Marine Corps records, Lee Harvey Oswald had requested and was granted an extension of his overseas tour in Japan. But on June 30th, 1958, immediately after his second incident of being court-martialed, when Oswald spoke provoking words to a non-commissioned officer, the extension of his overseas tour of duty was canceled. Oswald arrived in San Francisco in early November and then had a month of leave. After that, he reported to Marine Air Control Squadron No. 9, or MAX 9. The Warren Report says that MAX 9 was at El Toro, California. But Commission Exhibit 1961, the document the commission relied on to show the dates when Oswald served at each respective location, describes the base as, quote, MAX 9 El Toro, parentheses, Santa Ana. Now, this probably doesn't make a difference, but it's worth pointing out because there were two separate bases, one in El Toro and one in Santa Ana. The Marine Corps Air Station was in El Toro, and it housed between 5,000 and 7,000 Marines. This El Toro base was known as MAX 3. The lighter-than-air facility was located near Santa Ana and housed less than 700 Marines. It was referred to as MAX 9. So the Warren Report should have just said that Oswald was at MAX 9 in Santa Ana. The inclusion of El Toro is confusing and is not correct. When Oswald was at Santa Ana, his job duties consisted of mostly janitorial work, which was the result of him having been court-martialed twice. He also had to make coffee and mow the lawn. During his time at Santa Ana, Oswald was an enigma to his peers. Mac Osborne, who bunked with Oswald, told the FBI that Oswald said he hit a man with a bottle and fought a guard while he was in the brig in Atsugi. Both of these statements appear to be lies. Nelson Delgado was also Oswald's bunkmate, and he said that Oswald liked classical music and the opera. Delgado said that he never heard Oswald discuss his past, whether it was his personal life or the Marines. Another Marine who met Oswald at Santa Ana was Carrie Thornley, who worked with Oswald from about April through June of 1959. He and Oswald both shared an interest in reading and were both atheists. Thornley said that Oswald had, quote, a definite tendency toward irrationality at times and emotional instability. We'll hear from Carrie Thornley again later. The Warren Report says that Oswald was discharged from the Marines in September of 1959, with his last base being Santa Ana. But according to a December 1st, 1963 FBI report, Major William Gorski, the assistant provost marshal at the El Toro base, says that Oswald was discharged from the El Toro base in March of 1959. This discharge happened after Oswald was arrested by the police in Santa Ana for hitchhiking. The underlying documents to support Gorski's claim have all disappeared, so we don't have any information at all to vet this FBI report. We know that Oswald was serving at Santa Ana, not El Toro, in March of 1959. So the idea that he would be discharged from El Toro doesn't fit the record. But I don't see how we can simply sweep the Gorski FBI report under the rug. Did the assistant provost marshal at the El Toro base just make up a false story about Oswald getting arrested for hitchhiking? Or is something else going on here? On top of the Gorski FBI report, there's one more potential piece of evidence to show that Oswald may not have been in Santa Ana for most of 1959. A man named Valentine Ashworth wrote a letter to Jim Garrison in 1967 saying that he knew Oswald and spent time with Oswald before he went to Russia. Ashworth, who claimed that he was a captain in the Cuban Raider Command, said that he met Oswald in New Orleans and ended up being his roommate there. He also claims that he traveled with Oswald to Columbus, Ohio, where he and Oswald attempted to join the Cuban Exile Army. Ashworth also said that while he was in Columbus with Oswald, They met Clay Shaw, who would later go on to be charged for the murder of President Kennedy by Jim Garrison. Now, Ashworth was in jail at the time that he wrote this letter to Garrison, so of course, he wanted Garrison to get him out of jail and to help him get out of the country in exchange for testifying. Ashworth definitely did have an angle. There's no doubt about that. So we have to take his statement with a grain of salt. But a letter that was written by Ashworth's cellmate to the New Orleans FBI in October of 1967 seems to confirm what Ashworth was saying. The cellmate listed accusations and statements that were made by Ashworth that were consistent with what he told Jim Garrison. But in that same letter, the cellmate raised concerns about Ashworth's mental health. Valentine Ashworth was either crazy, as some of the documents say, or he was trying to manipulate Garrison into getting him out of jail. Or he was telling the truth. David Bucknell was a Marine who served with Oswald in Santa Ana. Now, Bucknell wasn't interviewed by the FBI or the Warren Commission, but he did speak with Mark Lane, and he told him a few things about Oswald that are sure to get your attention. One day, while Bucknell and Oswald were having some drinks at a tavern near the base, Oswald opened up to Bucknell about his time in Japan. He shared a story about when he was alone at a fancy bar called the Queen Bee and was approached by a beautiful Japanese woman who had questions for Oswald about his work on the U-2 spy plane based out of Atsugi. When he got back to the base, Oswald reported this interaction to his superior officer. Shortly after that, Oswald was introduced to a man in civilian clothes and identified this man as a security intelligence operator who told Oswald that he could do his country a great service by providing false information to the Japanese woman. Oswald agreed to participate. He told Bucknell that he was given spending money so that he could go to the Queen Bee, and he was encouraged to enter into a sexual relationship with the woman who was asking him questions. As we discussed in the last episode, Oswald was treated for gonorrhea, a sexually transmitted disease, on numerous occasions while he was in Japan. Zach Stout, one of the Marines who was with Oswald in Atsugi, told the House Select Committee on Assassinations that Oswald would often visit the Queen Bee and seemed to be with the same Japanese girl every night. Despite Oswald's dalliances with this woman likely giving him gonorrhea, the Marine Corps medical records say that the disease was contracted, quote, in the line of duty, and it was, quote, not due to Oswald's own misconduct. The meaning of this notation on Oswald's medical records that he contracted gonorrhea in the line of duty due to no fault of his own is, of course, disputed. Author Edward Epstein said that he was told the Marines always write in the line of duty for any disease or injury. Now, I didn't serve in the Marines in Japan in the 1950s, so I don't know if that's true or not, but a plain reading of the phrase not due to his own misconduct implies that however Oswald got gonorrhea, it was done in furtherance of his military duties, and he didn't get in any trouble for it. Aside from the gonorrhea diagnosis, another reason to entertain David Bucknell's story about what Oswald told him is that the Queen Bee was too expensive for most enlisted men. It never made sense that Oswald would be able to afford going there on a regular basis. This idea that Oswald was given money by the CIA or the military or whoever for the purpose of spreading disinformation to his Japanese girlfriend sounds wild. But we also know that Oswald probably wouldn't have been able to afford the Queen Bee without some help. The things that Bucknell told Mark Lane about Oswald's time in Japan are just Bucknell's recollections of what Oswald told him. In the vernacular of the rules of evidence, we call this hearsay. But Bucknell also told Lane about experiences that he had with Oswald in Santa Ana that suggest that Oswald may have had intelligence connections while he was in the Marines. Bucknell said that in 1959, Oswald, Bucknell, and others were ordered to meet with a civilian to discuss participating in an intelligence operation against communists in Cuba. Oswald was selected and agreed to participate. He told Bucknell that the person who served as his contact for intelligence operations at Santa Ana was the same person he had worked with in Atsugi. Oswald also shared with Bucknell that he, quote, was going to be discharged from the Marine Corps very soon and that he would surface in the Soviet Union. He said he was being sent there on assignment by American intelligence and would return to the United States as a hero in 1961. If what Bucknell says is true, it's some of the most important testimony that we've heard so far. On the other hand, let's not forget the source of the claim. It doesn't have the same credibility level as under oath testimony, but it is coming from someone who was there with Oswald, even if it was published in Hustler magazine. This episode of Solving JFK is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. I don't know about you, but when I need to get into that Curtis LeMay, sitting there watching the autopsy vibe, I look for a cigar that I can rely on. And that's why I love Thompson Cigar. They've been around since 1915, so they know a thing or two about cigars. Whether it's a quick five-pack for the weekend or joining one of their value clubs, Thompson makes it easy to save while enjoying top-notch cigars. It's like having your own personal humidor with deals that you can't pass up. Visit www.thompsoncigar.com/JFK or use code JFK at checkout for 20% off of your order of $75 or more. Discover why Thompson has been America's humidor since 1915 and join the thousands of satisfied customers who trust Thompson for quality, value, and exceptional service. One of the most overlooked moves that Oswald made while he was in the Marines was his application to Albert Schweitzer College in Cherwalden, Switzerland. Oswald applied to Albert Schweitzer on March 19th of 1959. On June 19th, after receiving an acceptance letter from the school, Oswald sent in $25 as a deposit to hold his seat. In May, Oswald received a list of 13 students who would also be attending Albert Schweitzer. Despite Oswald telling his friend Nelson Delgado that he was planning to attend college in Switzerland, Oswald never had any further communications with Albert Schweitzer College after sending the deposit. He never even visited Switzerland. Later, when Oswald applied for a passport, just before he was discharged from the Marines, Oswald listed the reason for travel as, quote, to attend the College of A. Schweitzer in Chur, Switzerland, and the University of Turku in Finland. Vincent Bugliosi raised what I thought was a good point on Oswald's application to Albert Schweitzer. He said, quote, Oswald's intention to attend the staid Albert Schweitzer College is jarring, to say the least, and cannot be taken at face value. On the other hand, It is equally hard to see, if it were all a ruse, what the purpose of that ruse would be. Now, I agree that this application can't be taken at face value, but as you will see, there are reasons for Oswald to apply to a college somewhere in Europe. One possible answer for why Oswald would apply to a college overseas is that the Marines were required to serve 3 years of inactive duty after being discharged. Travel abroad was not allowed during that 3-year period without a valid reason. Going to college abroad was considered one of the valid reasons and was thus an exception to the rule. This meant that Oswald could leave the country during his 3 years of inactive service instead of having to wait another 3 years if he said he was going to college somewhere overseas. That's why Oswald would apply to any college overseas. After all, it didn't matter where he was going to college for him to be able to get around the 3 years of no travel during inactive duty rule. It could have been anywhere in Europe. So the real question is, why on earth did Lee Harvey Oswald apply to Albert Schweitzer College? There had to be other European schools with cheaper application fees if his only intention was to have a decoy school to justify getting around the 3 years of inactive service rule. The village of Cherwalden, nestled in the dramatic mountains of the Swiss Alps, was the home for Albert Schweitzer College. There was no bus or railway service to the village. The college opened its doors to students in the fall of 1954. In the 1958-59 school year, which is when Oswald applied, a total of only 30 students were in the graduating class, and none of them were from Switzerland. So where did this mysterious college come from? The school was started by the International Association for Religious Freedom and its fundraising arm, the Friends of Albert Schweitzer College, Inc., a New York corporation that had three directors, one of them being Percival Brundage. Brundage wasn't just a director, he was the president of the Friends of Albert Schweitzer College from 1953 until 1958. So who exactly was Percival Brundage? Brundage served in the Bureau of the Budget for the Eisenhower administration from 1954 until 1960 and was the director of the budget from 1956 to 1958. Multiple credible reports have shown that Brundage had other ties that weren't visible at surface level. In 1979, the New York Times wrote, quote, "In 1973, Percival Brundage and another former government official were said by sources in the charter airline industry to have acted for the Central Intelligence Agency in the 1960 purchase by the CIA of Southern Air Transport of Miami. The agency apparently used the airline in paramilitary missions in the Congo, Caribbean, and Indochina." A Newsweek article on May 19th of 1975 said that Percival Brundage was linked to four CIA front companies: Double Check Corp, which was used to recruit pilots for covert missions against Cuba; the Robert R. McMullen Company, which provided cover for CIA personnel in Stockholm, Mexico City, and Singapore; Zenith Technical Enterprises, which organized and funded Operation Mongoose; and Southern Air Transport, an airline used by the CIA during Iran-Contra, which would go on to be sold to Jeffrey Epstein financier Leslie Wexner. So the New York Times and Newsweek say that the president of Friends of Albert Schweitzer College worked with the CIA. The mysterious CIA ties of Percival Brundage beg the question of whether Albert Schweitzer College was being used for intelligence purposes. I keep coming back to the subject of how could Oswald have possibly known about Albert Schweitzer College? And why did he choose that particular school to send his application to? It's also clear that Oswald would have had a very hard time affording school, since the tuition at Albert Schweitzer was $2,800 per year, and Oswald didn't have anywhere near that in savings. Now, we don't have any hard evidence of exactly what the CIA was doing at Albert Schweitzer, if they were actively doing anything. But the associations of Percival Brundage make it clear that Albert Schweitzer College had a man running its finance operation who was repeatedly used as an asset for U.S. intelligence. For some reason, this is the school that Oswald chose to apply to, apparently as a cover for defecting to the Soviet Union. The real question remains, why did Oswald pick Albert Schweitzer College, which had been around for less than 5 years and only had 30 students, as the decoy that would allow him to travel internationally? Now, it is possible that Oswald came across one of the few newspaper ads that Albert Schweitzer College ran. We have a copy of one of their ads from the National Archives, but we don't know what cities or papers it was run in, or when it was run. I don't care if you're absolutely certain that Oswald fired all three shots and he was a devout communist. You have to admit that him choosing such an unknown college, whose chief fundraiser had indisputable CIA ties, makes it look like Oswald may have been told to apply to Albert Schweitzer College by someone else. Next time on Solving JFK, we look at Oswald's discharge from the military and try to find out exactly when Oswald started following communism and learning the Russian language. If you heard anything that you believe is out of context, or if you have additional information to offer, you can let us know at solvingjfkpodcast@gmail.com. Please provide citations to the record for any fact that you're relying on. For transcripts, sources, and official podcast merchandise, visit solvingjfkpodcast.com.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas.
The flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Thanks for listening. Visit solvingjfkpodcast.com for more information. I'm just